Welcome to Youth Force Chronicles. My name is Mr. Joe, and this is the podcast for teens by teens, where we learn about jobs and careers. Today, we are interviewing JT Lemons.
Yeah. Oh, let's get into it.
The only question is, what does he do?
I don't know.
Let's find out.
Are you ready?
All right. Wow. Okay. Okay. All right. Is everybody ready?
Yeah.
How's everyone doing today?
Who are we talking to?
I'm talking to everybody here in the room here.
But we haven't introduced them.
I know. It's all right.
Okay. So
yeah, go ahead.
My name is Mr. Joe. next to me, I have
James.
Yeah. And I'm Crazy J. And today's guest is.
Oh, you forgot his name.
No, I didn't. I actually went out of order here. I think that we're supposed to talk about fun facts first. I got excited because I'm really excited about our guest today. So right now is the time where we do what is it, Joe?
Are you still just not going to say his name?
Yeah. Well, I was waiting for the part, but please take over.
And then our special guest for the day is JT Lemons. Everybody get up for JT.
Woo. Woo.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah.
This is me trying to give him applause.
Yeah. Amelia's out today. Our producer's out today again. So we got Noah behind the mixer, and he doesn't know how to push the buttons yet. So he just knows how to push record and then get everything going, which is great. So yeah.
They grow up so fast.
They do.
But anyway, so we're about to get into fun facts for the show. With fun facts, we like to tell everybody something new about ourselves, and we have this rule of saying if you can't come up with a fun fact in 10 seconds, Jason or I gets to make something up for you.
Yeah, I just got off for probation from that, so it's okay. Not legal probation, and I'm just kidding. I didn't really.
And anyway, we're going to get into fun facts. So, fun fact for me. Is what is a good fun fact about me? I broke a chair once while
eating
food. But the fun fact is that I didn't spill anything.
not a morsel, not even a drop of his drink. It was the most amazing. It's probably one of my most favorite stories about Joe. Oh my gosh. James, what's your fun fact?
I had an apple today.
So you're not going to the doctor anytime soon then, I guess.
What kind of apple, though?
School apple.
The school apple?
Mm-hmm. School apple?
Do you not know your apples?
No, I
know
don't.
Fuji, yeah, God. Or the golden apple.
I honestly did not know there was different types.
What?
I mean, I knew there was a golden apple because of Minecraft, but...
Minecraft. Man, I can't play Minecraft. It's too... anyways. fun fact about me is we've planted a garden at our house, and I've got some vegetables and fruits growing, and I've spent last weekend was Elevate. So, like, in my downtime, it's been a lot of time in the garden and just tearing up our backyard. And so, this is a funny story real quick. I was raking these leaves because we have like these awful like walnut trees, and like the leaves like get really layered on. And I was taking a blower and I was blowing the leaves from like this really dense part of my backyard. And I about jumped out of my skin because like underneath there was like this squirrely, like squirmy looking thing. And it was like this big. It was only like 3 or 4 inches and it was all shiny. And I'm like, what the heck is this thing? And I thought it was a snake. It turns out it was a daggum, like a action figure of like Godzilla's tail had been cut off. And so, but I had screamed like a little girl when I found it. It scared the mess out of me. And all it was, and then I thought it was a giant leech, but then I was like, that's not weird. So anyways.
I was about to be even more excited if it was a snake.
Yeah, I probably would have. I would have destroyed it.
Anyway, let's hear from our special guest, JT. What's a fun fact about yourself?
I recently purchased a Mach-E Mustang, electric Mustang.
What?
It is fun to drive.
Yeah.
I love it.
You were saying earlier that it goes super fast. How fast does it go?
0 to 60 in about 4 seconds.
Four seconds.
pretty quick.
That's about that silence there was about 4 seconds. So we would go from stop to go in that amount of time. That's crazy.
Dang, I feel like I can make it to the bathroom from 0 to 4 seconds if I really have to go.
And wasn't that like a full circle moment? Wasn't that like a full circle moment for you too? Because you said that was a full circle moment for you, because didn't you have one long time ago too, like when you first got a car?
Oh yeah, one of my first cars in high school was a Mustang, 65.
Wow. 65.
Not electric.
No, yeah, absolutely not electric. How long does the battery last on that?
They're guaranteed 8 years.
Whoa. Well, I mean, like from traveling from point A to,
250 miles.
Wow.
Ooh.
That's a lot.
Depends on a lot of factors, like how fast you drive. You know, like a real car.
Okay.
If you drive fast, you use your battery faster.
Wow. That's interesting. And there's charging stations like all over the place.
I mean, it'll suck if it wasn't.
They're not as common as I'd like for them to be.
Yeah. I thought you can't just plug it into your house. Like
you can, but it's a real slow charge.
Oh, yeah.
I've got a charging station in my house. It's 80 amp. It'll charge it overnight.
Well, I want to know why we haven't tapped into hamsters. You know, let's just spin on that wheel. Like they would, man, the amount, like if we had 100 hamsters on the hamster's wheels, the power that we could generate just would be phenomenal.
Why don't you do that with these electric carts?
The go-karts? Yeah, we're trying to get those to be solar powered, but that'd be fun to like Fred Flintstone, like, and then take off.
I mean, yeah, the last time we tried to work with hamsters, they ran away.
When did we work with hamsters?
That was a joke.
Oh.
That wasn't a good one.
Anyways, I'm just kidding. Okay. All right. Well, so we'll go ahead and get into our next segment, which is the career journey. We need a sound effect for that. We're working on it, but
just like angelic sounds.
So, well, actually, we need to get into the guess who part, which is we got to have James guess what Mr. JT. I'm sorry. It's my mom talking out of me. What JT has done his entire life. For a career. What was that?
It's my phone.
Oh, your phone. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. So James, what we're going to do is we're going to play. It's a reverse of two truths and a lie. So he's going to give you two fake things, that occupations, and he's going to tell you the real one. Okay. And then you got to ask questions about, like, only questions that the person of those professions would know to kind of see which one is the right one, unless you like happen to guess right away what it is.
All right.
Let's see how this works. So go ahead, JT.
I'm an emergency room nurse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm a walking mailman.
Ooh, walking mailman.
I'm a river outfitter.
Ooh. What was the last one?
River outfitter.
I don't know that about that one. I think you are a nurse.
What makes you think that?
I don't know.
So you think
that's best guess.
That's your best guess right now as a nurse. You haven't even asked him any questions.
I don't need to.
Okay. Okay. Well,
good answer.
Good answer, but wrong. The one that you avoided was.
Hold on, wait. I think we should have JT's.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Sorry, JT. Didn't mean to steal your thunder. Go ahead. What do you do?
I'm a river outfitter on the Ocoee River.
Wow. What is that exactly?
Well, I take customers, or I arrange customers with guides and equipment, and they go down the river.
Okay. That's really cool. But so there's something more. Words, yeah.
In other words, you're saying white water rafting?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
But, like, there's more to the story here, right? Because there's something special.
Well, yeah, there's 47 years more story. And
Yeah. Because, like, go ahead, tell them more about what it is that you specifically have to do with the whitewater culture here in Cleveland.
Specifically?
Yeah.
I guess I was the first company on the Ocoee River.
Yeah.
In 1977.
That's really cool. So you basically said, you know what would be great? Let's make a company. To where we put people on this, like people come for vacation and just put them on rafts and send them down the river.
Yeah.
That's a great.
That sounds so much fun.
That's like a wild idea that I would have.
You know, back then, nobody around here really knew much about it.
Yeah.
And so I had a hard time going to bankers and getting loans. You know, they didn't really.
Oh, yeah.
They couldn't wrap their head around what I was trying to do. And then I went to a bank, Cleveland Bank and Trust in downtown Cleveland. And Sam McReynolds was the banker there, and went down into Sam's office, and he wasn't there, but his secretary said, just go on, sit down in there, and he'll be back in a minute. So I sat down, and behind his desk was like a 3x5 color photo of him and some other guys on a raft in West Virginia.
Wow.
So, I knew then. I found the guy now. You know, he knows what I'm talking about.
That's awesome.
It's so funny to me because, like, trying to explain an idea and an area to people or about it, things that they have not experienced could have been challenging. But then also the funniest thing just to be like, let me show you. Let me put you in a
yeah.
raft. Yeah. Send you down
the river. So like what?
The bankers don't tend to do that kind of thing.
No. They're probably like, what's the risk here? Yeah, like
exactly.
So what was, I mean, because this is like before Amazon, before any outfitter, like real.
Before ESPN.
Yeah, it was like, okay. But this is before like you could go out and like purchase like rafts. Like, so how did you, like, where was the, like, how did you get it started, first of all? Like,
well, the equipment was somewhat of a challenge. I ended up going to Army Navy Surplus and buying the boats, and then we would recover them with heavier material called Hypalon.
Okay.
We'd had to glue it on. So we had glue parties where we where we would glue this stuff.
Was this well ventilated places?
It had to be, yeah.
It'd be some kind of party for a while.
The funny thing about it, the glue was red and and the material was white.
So yeah.
You had red all over the white material and it almost looked like blood.
Yeah.
You know? So it wasn't real appealing.
Flooding the river with the blood of. That's funny. So you would take the material and then cut it and then lay it on top. So you had to like reinforce it essentially.
Yes, right. Yeah. The local is kind of shallow in places and it's hard on both.
Tear them up. Yeah.
Okay. So just to talk about this material. So, how does that material necessarily work? Like what is it, or maybe what's the strength level and the importance of covering it with that material you were just talking about?
Well, it's a DuPont product called Hypalene.
Okay.
And it's a real strong, tough, you can't tear it, you know, and it's got, I don't know if it's fiberglass reinforcement or what it is.
What?
It's tough stuff.
Right. And so it's meant to protect everything from like rocks, any like sharp objects that can be found in the river or when you're carrying it around places.
I was told that's what the astronauts, the inflatables that they have in their Sputniks or whatever.
Oh.
That's what they were built.
That always seems to be the seal of approval. The astronauts use it. Like, wow, it's good for me. Astronauts use this toothbrush. All right. They use it on a spaceship. I'm going with laser beams. What I think is funny is that they would reinforce the military rafts with this stuff. Like, we're putting soldiers on this stuff and it's like tissue paper. You think that they would have, like, the rafts would be sort of bulletproof or something with the,
well, the rafts, you know, they use most of them, they don't use them in shallow water, they're deep water.
Yeah,
you have to worry about abrasion.
So your first, So did you go out and you kind of mapped it to like, to kind of say, okay, was this around the time the classes of, you know, like class four, all that jazz. And was that established at that time? So you kind of knew like the experience level of like, hey, we're gonna take this family of four down the category four, rapids and all that stuff. So, did you have to kind of map that out or?
It was kind of a challenge, but, people loved it, you know, even kids, you know, you have to be 12 to do the Okoi.
Yeah.
When we first started, there were no rules, no regulations.
So that's, nothing.
We kind of had to do that from experience. You know, I think we started at 10, but then later on we upped to 12.
Yeah. Cause that's always been, you know, that's always my favorite is when the rules get made, there was a rule that was named after somebody like, because that's something they broke, but
yeah,
you know,
like Murphy's Law.
Yeah, that's exactly. James.
So how did you get into all of this?
Well, I was living in Knoxville and a buddy of mine was in the whitewater kayaking and we played intramural sports together and he said, you need to try this. So he took me out on the lake in Knoxville and taught me an Eskimo roll. And so then we started going down and doing the Chattooga in North Georgia. And one day we were coming back, came down the by the Ocoee, and water was in the Ocoee. This was in September of 76, and that was the month and the year that TVA condemned the flume line and returned water back into the riverbed so they could rebuild the flume line, which took 7 years to do. So, you know, we knew we had it for 7 years at least, but after that, we weren't sure what was going to happen. But anyway, that day we were coming back from the Chattoogan, water in the river. I was driving my van, and we had some kayaks and a raft on top. So we decided, we still had some daylight, so we decided to get the raft off, throw it in the river, and raft down the Ocoee and see what it was like. And, you know, it was good. So the following year, we opened for business.
So you just went down one time. You're like, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. Like, I'm gonna open a business where I take people down.
Well, you know, when we started, I don't think we had any idea how long it would last. You know, we didn't know after 7 years if TVA was going to allow us to continue to raft or not.
When did it come to the realization that, man, we need to get a bus, like, to get people up here? Like, how are you transporting people up to the mountain?
When we started, we were just using vans and pickup trucks.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
So, Tennessee, right there.
Come to work there, you had to have either a van or a pickup truck.
Oh, so that you, okay, that's pretty cool. This is like, man, that's funny.
Dang, that's wild. That's actually wild. That's such a good thing.
Yeah.
Like, hey, if you're going to work here, you're going to be useful.
It's like the only requirement. Plus, you got to know how to swim.
Oh, yeah.
We'll buy your gas, but.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. At least you paid for their gas. Some people wouldn't pay for your gas. Like, going up and down the hill. Sorry, I just had a brain fart. So with that, I'm sure there was already some safety precautions in place already. What extent did you guys go to? Did you have everybody wearing life vests and stuff?
Okay. We had to wear a life vest. Now, back then, helmets weren't required. So the first probably two seasons, we didn't use helmets.
That's pretty bold right there.
Yeah.
No helmets.
And, you know, we really never had anybody had any serious head injuries or anything like that. But But eventually, you know, when we had some money, we started buying helmets.
Maybe get some helmets for people.
Quick question here. So you were pretty much a self-starting small business, essentially. And then this business started to roar afterwards. After a few years and all that, what was the process of just going about having this business? So, like, what did you do to get it off the ground? And what were some of the things that you thought was highly important in like maintaining that business?
Well, naturally, back then, the most important part of advertising promotion was television, radio, and print.
Mm.
Or since online advertising, all that's come around, this completely changed that whole landscape. But I had cousins, I had relatives in the radio business, and they helped me some get started, get interviews, you know, on radio stations in Chattanooga, Knoxville, Nashville, Birmingham, Atlanta, you know, all over. And also some TV, morning TV shows, you know, they'd put me on there and I'd go on. Have the helmet, jacket, and the paddle with me and interview.
Oh, that's funny. You're like, come on down.
Back then it was
JD's.
Yeah. Back then it was new and people, you know, didn't know much about it. So they were happy to put me on. So we got a lot of free promotion.
I imagine that kind of it took off because it spoke to a lot of people's like that primal like adventure feeling, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And like, and the so
pioneer spirit.
Yeah. Like, and yeah. And it just like, oh my gosh, you got to come try this. And then we're just spread around and then rest is history. And then everyone's like, hey, that's a good idea. I'm going to go start one up there too. Like, we're going to be closer to the top. Like,
yeah.
Well, that's incredible. So, so advertisement is one of the things that you had to use to maintain the business. So what did you do to get it off the ground? Like, did you have to go to, like, how many banks did you have to go to? What was the starting cost for that? Finding people to work. That would be the other thing. Like, how were you able to get people to come and help out to do this?
Well, as far as banks, I think I probably went to half a dozen banks before I found the guy here in Cleveland that had been rafting before.
That's awesome.
As far as finding employees, you know, that was pretty easy. My friends my age, you know, pretty much. And you know, when I got them on the river, they were all gung ho. They said, "Hell yeah, we like this."
Yeah, that's awesome.
You mean we can get paid?
That's awesome. That's so cool. I love it when people find that job. They're just like, "What do you mean we get paid for this?" Yeah. Like, that's so cool.
I don't know. I don't remember who said it, but somebody said, "If you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life."
Yeah, we've heard that quite a few times. Yeah, that's so true too. Like. Mm-hmm. You just finding the passionate thing that you like want to do. And it's kind of, we've talked about it before where this job feels that way for us and my team, just because it's so much fun. I boast that our team is the funnest team because we get to do stuff like this and we don't have to handle the dramas of the normal days that happen and all that stuff. Teen angst. And I mean, we get teen angst, but for the most part, it's just kind of like being creative and having this venue of like helping kids find jobs that they're passionate about. So it's really cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's been really fun to just, I guess, focus on that. Like, everything that the Boys and Girls Club does is highly important.
Mm-hmm.
But I've enjoyed this aspect of just like, hey, like let's get to talk more about your future. Like, what is it that you really want to do?
You know, when I was a kid growing up in Cleveland, we didn't have a Boys and Girls Club. We just had the YMCA.
Mm.
I haven't been there in a long time.
Yeah.
And, I was reading the local paper there in Benton years ago. This has been, I don't know, 15 years ago maybe. And I saw an article, a picture of some kids and a lady. And the caption said, Cindy Hooker at the local Boys and Girls Club. And I had no idea there was a Boys and Girls Club in Benton.
Yeah, and Hooker, and she's the one that the Benton Hooker unit is named after.
So I went and looked her up.
Yeah.
Started doing what I could to help.
That's good. Well, we thank you for that because it gives us opportunities to do what we do. And there's no other job funner for us. Well, I mean, I'm sure there is, but we love what we do, don't we, Joe?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well,
yeah.
And everybody here does a great job.
Yeah. Well, thank you. So you set out, you have this idea. I assume did it take a lot of convincing? Like once you to get your friends involved with that, and they're just besides like the getting paid thing, but you're just like
no, and like I say, it's pretty easy. You know, if you've been down the Ocoee,
oh yeah,
you could imagine the early days when you're on the first wave, so to speak. You know, how that would have been.
I had an awakening when I they put me on the bull in the front,
yeah,
and I was just like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. I felt like Eat, Pray, Love, that movie with Julia Roberts, where she just kind of was finding herself a little
never
bit.
Saw it.
Well, you're uncultured, so. but yeah, like so how many rafts did you guys start out with?
We had four.
Four?
Because I had four guides.
And that was the money you used to get the loan. Is like, you just, I need four rafts. Or like, what did all the money go to like start the business? Because you didn't have like a building per se. Or how did someone book an appointment? Were you just set up in a parking lot down at the base of the hill? The building. It's like, come on, guys, let's go.
The building that we are still in.
Okay.
We started it.
What?
It was a motor lodge. It was called Sugarloaf Motor Lodge.
Okay.
It was right next to Parksville Gulf Station, a service station.
Yeah.
And the same family, the Higgins family in Athens, owned the property and the business.
That's so cool.
But we started out with two rooms at the end of the motor lodge.
Okay.
And then the next year we had three rooms, and eventually we had the whole building.
Wow.
But the money went for equipment, rafts, paddles, jackets, t-shirts. We had to buy, you know, some retail stuff.
Okay.
Shirts to sell.
Yeah.
And of course, you got to have insurance, phone, all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
So the insurance company, like, how'd that go when you're like pitching to the insurance companies, like, hey, I got this business. Like,
well, when we started, we didn't have on river liability.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It probably didn't exist.
Didn't exist.
Like, this is not a thing.
But you know, you had that auto insurance and insurance on the building and on the property and all that. So.
Okay. Wow.
But I think I borrowed $10,000.
Wow.
First loan.
There you go.
That's incredible, honestly, because compared to now, you probably need more. Okay. So how much did the RAS cost back then compared to now?
Ooh.
The rafts we were buying back then were $500, and then it cost us probably $250 to resurface them.
Mm-hmm.
So we had probably $750 in them. New rafts now are like $3,000 to $4,000.
But they don't have to. You don't have to reinforce them anymore because they come equipped. Right. Because people caught on to your idea. Mm-hmm. You're a trendsetter. That's what you are. is there an outfitter expo? You know, like some of these companies have like the conferences they go to. And like, one more rapid, woo! Let's do it. Let's get out there and ride the rapids this year. Do they like have an expo where you go and like test all the new equipment and stuff like that?
Yeah, I was just at one in Phoenix back in December.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there's like some safety trainings now that you like. It's an absolute must to right. go through.
Yeah. You got to have the Red Cross first aid and CPR, and trip leaders have to have the wilderness first responder certification.
Oh,
so CPR, first aid, then
every guide has to have those.
Yeah, and then you said the oh my gosh,
trip
what was
leaders,
that? The troop leaders,
trip leaders,
trip leaders. What is it?
Yeah.
Well, he's like the head guy on that particular fleet of rafts.
So is it like parachuting? You have to have so many hours going down to have a certification to know what to do, because I'm sure water conditions are
it's not like that. It's different people have different levels of experience when they come to us to be a guide. Some have some canoe experience or kayak experience or just experience on rivers.
Okay.
And they pick it up quicker than somebody that comes in with no experience at all.
Ooh, yeah, that makes sense.
So, somebody that with some experience can pick it up in probably 4 weekends. Somebody without it probably take, 6 or 8 at least.
Mm.
Wow. Okay. So I think it's time to go into our next segment.
Okay.
And
okay.
That next segment is rapid fire questions.
I don't think you need to put the sound effects in there. Millie could do that in post. Like you could just,
but they're always just, fun to do it yourself.
Okay, I'm just saying, like we can, Amelia can go ahead and put it in there. But anyways,
she's just going to give me the after effects.
Okay, so how this works, JT, is we've got a set of questions here, and we're going to ask them, and you got to like first answer that comes to your head. You just got to answer it really quick, okay?
Okay.
And some of them might throw you off, and some of them might not. It just answer the whatever your reaction is. We're just going to go with it. Is that okay? So usually we would have some sort of like intense music and stuff like that. But like I said, Noah's new. Way to go, Noah. Thumbs up. Put him on the spot.
Noah,
okay.
We love you.
So we do. It's his first day too. So that's what's really funny.
So, it's like they just said, get in a chair.
Say, hey,
like,
okay. What are you doing this afternoon? You can hang out for a little bit longer, right? We're going to train you some stuff. So we're just going to go ahead and we're going to just... We can count down to 3, 2, 1, and then everybody can ask. We'll just stay in the order. And so we have about a minute. Joe, do you want to get your phone out and so we could time that?
Yes, but we also have it on the TV.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, I see. All right, I see what you're saying there. So, ready? Who's? Go ahead, Joe. You count it off.
Okay.
Since I can't count.
All right. No, are you ready? 3, 2, 1, go. Okay, JT. Favorite flavor of ice cream?
Vanilla.
Favorite movie?
Deliverance.
Can you read?
Did you say Deliverance is your favorite movie? Okay, go ahead. Who's your favorite? Go ahead. Can you read?
Yes.
Who's your favorite author?
Tom Clancy.
Favorite book?
Hunt for the Red October.
Ham or sausage?
Ham.
Would you rather have no arms or no legs?
No arms.
What's your favorite beverage?
Non-alcoholic?
Yes, sure. Non-alcoholic.
Yeah. Knew it. We were going to throw him off. Yeah.
Coke Zero.
Okay.
Favorite pastime?
Traveling.
Can you swim?
Yeah.
Okay.
Favorite superhero?
Superman.
All right. Oh, and time's up.
Oh, man. That was good. Which one was it that threw us all off, actually?
Can you read?
Is Deliverance your favorite movie because it was shot in Ocoee? Is that what...
We were talking about it earlier.
That's so funny. Did you help out with that movie at all?
No.
Oh man, that would have been cool.
I know some guys that did, but I didn't.
Oh man, that'd have been awesome too. Okay, well, Joe, what's next?
Oh, okay. So this is the point of the show where we just want to take the time just to get to know you, JT, a little bit more. And so, JT, what are some of the things that inspire you to just to get up in the morning and do what you do?
Mm. Well, I think the thing that led me into the rafting primarily was just seeing people have fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Get them on the river and show them a good time, especially city slickers. You know, they get out there and they're like in a completely different environment and they don't know what to think. But by the time they get down to the end of the trip, they love it. So.
Yeah, some dude has been like a corporate guy his entire life, gets on this thing, he's like, man, this is great. I'm out here. I'm free. Let's move out of here.
I'm not bounded by a desk or a computer.
I had one guy from Atlanta tell me at the end of the trip, he said, you know, I hadn't thought about a thing for the last 2 hours except saving my butt.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He said, you know, I pay my therapist a lot more than that not to think about anything.
It is a humbling experience when you fall out of that boat. I tell you what, just wake up and then you're like, the way they tell you like to float down, you're like making sure that you're doing the thing that they said to do, but like you're still, but you're fighting the urge to not swim because you're just like, I don't want to, like you're just drowning in the water, but it's like, just trust.
Roll over on your back with your feet downstream.
Yeah.
Don't panic.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, my favorite experience was when I went whitewater rafting. I had went with a church who won't be named, but
why not?
I'm just not gonna name them. Out of respect.
Oh, okay.
But it was just funny because I was on the raft with some of the people from the church, and they tried to purposely just like get me ready, just like, hey, just fall in the water. And I'm like, no. So there was this one moment where the guide just said, hey, Joe. I'm like, huh? And he goes, good luck. I'm like, huh? So then I see everybody, like my first time falling in.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, no. Ah. And then I got back in the boat afterwards and I said, I'm not doing it again.
Because what's funny is like the thing that's the most, they're telling you not to panic, but the water immediately makes you panic because it's so daggum cold. Like it just sucks the breath right out of your lungs. You're like, this is cold. Oh my gosh.
James, have you ever been whitewater rafting?
I think I have a few times. I was young, so I don't really remember it.
I think we need to take them this summer. I wonder if we can go. I wonder if there's anybody that we know.
I can help you.
Okay. All right. It'd be so fun to have him take us down the river. Do you still do it? Like, do you still go every once in a while? Are you tired or did you retire?
Yeah, I've retired.
Oh, man. Did they send you off like a Viking with like the raft? And
Oh, that'll be my funeral.
Oh, okay.
Viking funeral.
Just get a bow and arrow.
That'll be sick.
A burning bow.
I want to go. Can they do that on the coast? Can you do that? Like, is that not? I didn't think so. It's a national forest. But it'd be so cool if we could, though. Right? It'd be awesome.
We could try it on the lake.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Well, yeah. Okay.
But don't you own half the mountain? That's what Derek told us. It's like you.
I used to. I sold it.
Oh, okay.
I sold it to the Nature Conservancy, and eventually it'll be part of the Cherokee National Forest.
Well, that's awesome. Is there any, like, okay, this is getting paranormal here. Have you ever, like, had any experience with, like, any kind of Bigfoot or anything out there?
No.
No weird? Okay.
I've seen bears and.
Bears,
wild boar, and lions. Wild turkey, deer, all that stuff.
That's pretty cool.
Just no Sasquatch.
Yeah,
no Sasquatch.
I don't think he comes over here. I really think we're gonna find him someday. He's the best hide and seeker ever out there. But that's just me.
I don't know. There's other people who's good at hide and seek, like me, for instance.
You are not good at hide and seek, Joe.
We haven't played hide and seek together.
Huh?
And Eric Rudolph was pretty good at it.
Who?
Eric Rudolph.
Who's that?
The Olympic bomber.
Oh. Speaking of the Olympics.
The one that disappeared up around Murphy for like 3 or 4 years and they couldn't find him.
Okay. Oh, okay. So that's why he bombed it and left.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds familiar. So speaking of the Olympics though, like, did you have a part in that too? Like, were you, I'm sure business kind of bumped up around that time. Cause like everyone's like, I can do it.
Actually the year of the Olympics, we were down because everybody thought we were closed because of the Olympics.
But afterwards?
It was on the upper section, not on our section. But anyway. But yeah, I played a role in bringing the Olympic events to the Ocoee.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I've never met an Olympic person before.
Well, I didn't.
Well, I mean, I know, but like.
So what did you
sat at the table with him.
Do to get the Olympics to.
He wasn't.
There was one interesting story. At the time, I was president of America Outdoors, which is a national outfitter organization. And I was in Washington, D.C., meeting with some government officials and elected officials about other things. But I was meeting with Al Gore when he was senator. This would have been about 1990. Mm. And we were talking, I'd taken him down the river.
You took Al Gore down the river?
Yeah, in 1990.
Wow.
And so we're talking about the Ocoee, and the talk had just started about trying to get the Olympic events on the Ocoee since we're so close to Atlanta. It's just about 100 miles north. So I mentioned that to Senator Gore, and he said, you know, that's interesting. An ex-fraternity brother of mine is in charge of that Atlanta Olympic
event. What?
And it was Billy Payne. I'd never heard of Billy Payne at that stage, but he was the head honcho for the Atlanta Olympics. So Al Gore calls his secretary and said, call Billy Payne in Atlanta. See if you can get a hold of Billy Payne in Atlanta. So about 5 minutes later, she comes and says, Mr. Payne's on the phone. So Al Gore picks it up and starts talking to him about having an Olympic event on the Ocoee River. And I think that's kind of the thing that got the ball rolling.
So that was your answer was a little humble. I had a little bit to do with it. I was like, I'm pretty sure your encounter with him helped that tremendously.
I don't know. It might have.
So you mentioned taking Al Gore down the river. Is there anybody else like
Tina Turner,
maybe celebrity wise that you got to take down the river?
I took Jerry Reed and Lamar Alexander down the river.
Oh my gosh.
They filmed a commercial for Tennessee Tourism on the Ocoee, and that was 79, I think, 1979.
I was taking a drink of water. Who was that?
Al Gore and Lamar Alexander and Jerry Reed. It's when Lamar Alexander was governor.
Oh, okay. I was thinking they were sports people. I was like, I don't really know that one either. So it's okay.
Yeah, a lot of people, George Bush has been down the river, Governor McWhorter, Jim Sasser, former senator from Tennessee. We took him down the river. John Carter Cash, not Johnny Cash, but his son.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Been a lot of people.
Do you know, so the guy that wrote Great Balls of Fire?
Jerry Lee Lewis?
Yeah, he's a part of the Sutton. He's something to do with the Sutton. I think his grandperson children go there or something.
Yeah, Meg told me that. I've heard that. Yeah. I think one of his grandsons.
Yes.
Or great-grandson. I don't know.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
The real question is, James, do you know any of the people that he mentioned?
I do not.
I just really wanted to know. I'm like,
how much? Al Gore?
No, I do not know who that is.
That was way before him, little baby. Al Gore was the vice president for Bill Clinton, correct?
Yes.
I won that one. Yes. But he also ran for president.
He almost became president.
Yeah, he almost did.
It wasn't for hanging chads.
Who? I thought you said hanging chads. I'm like,
that's what I said.
Oh, is that the person's name?
It was a voting irregularity in Florida that changed the outcome of the election.
Stupid Florida people, man. I'm from Florida. I can say that. Born and raised Daytona Beach, Port Orange, Florida. Port Orange.
Where is that?
You see, it's like 70, 95 goes north to south. And so you have Jacksonville, you have Flagler, which is like St. Augustine, and then you have Ormond Beach, then you have Daytona, then you have South Daytona, then you have New Smyrna, and just east of Daytona, there's a little town called Port Orange. And like you have to drive through.
East of Daytona, that'd be in the Atlantic Ocean.
So, well, yeah, but like. If you think of like, going towards I-4, yeah, going towards I-4, I know I was like, wait, that doesn't make sense. East, west, so the west, that's right. I see what you did now. That's because he's a river person. He knows his directions. Ever since I moved up to Tennessee, like, I stink at like knowing where I'm at now. But anyways.
I know downriver, that's all. Yeah.
So just west of Daytona and right before New Smyrna is Port Orange, and it's kind of a small town.
But how far is that from Cocoa Beach? I'm going to Cocoa the 16th.
Cocoa is right below New Smyrna, so like it's New Smyrna. Well, no, Edgewater. There's a couple counties before that, before Cocoa Beach, but Cocoa Beach is directly across. Like you could go to Cocoa Beach and then be at Disney within like half out 45 minutes or so, because it's like a direct line. Mm-hmm. But the space program's there. Mm-hmm. It was at some point. I don't know if SpaceX keeps launching there
They do.
Yeah. So that was an experience I saw when I was an elementary kid. Was seeing the space shuttle go up. My gosh, that was you're way over here. It's just as bad. It's just as cool as NASCAR. Like, I don't really like racing because it does a lot. It ruins my birthday because my birthday is around like the time. So bike week in NASCAR were the two ones that I hated the most, because bike week was right after my birthday, and then racing was right before my birthday, and so. That was always my mom's excuse that I have a birthday. It was like, it's race week, just 330 people there. I'm like, oh man, whatever. But but I would love to, I want to take the kids on one of our career trips down to NASCAR, because like going to like the race car experience and like get one of our kids to drive inside a race car would just be nuts, because those cars, you can feel, that's why they call them Days of Thunder, because like I live like 20 minutes away from the racetrack, and I grew up hearing outside my house, you hear I'm just going around and around and around. It is nuts. Like it's a crazy feeling when you're there.
Years ago I drove one at Bristol.
Yeah. That was you drove a race car?
Yeah. Oh
my gosh. So cool. You were just a well rounded man here. Else did you do?
Shoot, it's like it makes me wonder. I'm like, Boys and Girls Club of America, if you hear us, help us with this college road trip.
Yep.
No, sorry.
Career road trip, Joe.
Career. Career road trip. We want to go to Florida.
I have a lot of connections down there that we would have a really great time still, because a lot of my people are older enough. It's just the money to get down there is, because we could stay at some of the churches that I know and just sleep in the, and it'd be awesome.
We just need the resources, Boys and Girls Club of America.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
But anyway, does anybody have any last questions?
I have a question.
Ooh, James has a question, everybody. Sorry.
What makes you, you?
Ooh.
James coming out of nowhere with that good question.
Says, say three questions the whole show and then drops his bomb.
Well, you know, my career's kind of defined me. Mm-hmm. You know, I was so lucky. I was able to turn my hobby, something I love doing, into a career. Mm-hmm. Initially, I just thought it was going to be a summer job.
Yeah.
But it turned into a career, and I met a lot of good friends.
You probably have like a whole encyclopedia of, that's a book of Google, James, of like stories of just like amazing people and different encounters that you had.
Yeah.
That's a whole other podcast in itself.
Right.
Yeah. If you're interested, we know some people that can help you start one if you want.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Yeah, I mean, you know, careers kind of define me, and marriage, of course. Married a wonderful person.
Yeah, Megan's pretty awesome.
Meg, if you're listening, you heard it here.
She better be. I told her I was coming here to do this.
Yeah, that's awesome. Oh, I told her too. I was like, hey, I need your husband's number. I want to have him on her podcast. And she didn't even say anything. She just sent the number. That's funny.
She stays pretty busy. She doesn't.
Yeah.
She doesn't stop much.
How did you guys meet?
On the river.
On the river. Like, was she one of your people? And like, you're just like.
No, she was dating one of my guys.
Ooh, scandal.
It wasn't really very scandalous.
No. it just happened. You just like, it was one something. Was it this? The Tennessee summers, man. That'll get you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I met my wife. I met her over summer too. Just something about them, man.
On the river?
Not on the river. I met her on Bumble, but we had mutual friends, and it was like a fun story. But that's other episode.
That's hilarious. Okay, so I got one last question for you, JT. With all the things that you know now and all that you have accomplished, what is one thing you wish you could say to your younger self?
I saw a Mark Twain quote recently. It said something to the effect that you'll regret the things you didn't do more than you will the things you do do. So throw off the bow lines and take a risk, you know. Mm-hmm. I took some risk, but I probably would have taken more risk.
Yeah.
You know, risk reward.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And, you know, I passed up a lot of opportunities that I could have had, that I should have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And anybody that tells you they don't have regrets, I don't buy it.
Yeah.
I think everybody, if you lived a pretty full life, especially if you're a small business person, mm-hmm. if you don't have regrets, you just haven't had the opportunities or something, or haven't had many opportunities.
That's deep. That's wisdom.
Yeah. That was a really great nugget to end on.
Nuggets.
Nuggets. Yeah, like a wisdom nugget.
It's not a bouncy ball.
Yeah, not a bouncy ball. God, please don't get him started
Not a gold nugget either.
Is gold nugget? Is there gold in the hills?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. We should go panning for it. It'd be fun.
Anyway, I'm Mr. Joe, and on this episode was James Crazy J and JT Lemon.
Good job.
Such a great experience. Oh, and this is Youth Force Chronicles. Just if you didn't know, come and check out this podcast. Whoop, whoop. Anyway, thank you for listening. You can follow us on our Instagram and Facebook. It is youthforce_BGCOR. So be sure to check us out there. And we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.
Deuces.
Are you ready?